Well, as I mentioned during the vision op moments this morning, the Lord has again interrupted my pre-planned program. Thank God that he can do that. And he had something different in mind for us this week. But before I share a specific about what that is, I'm going to lay a foundation. I believe the Lord really spoke a word to me in prayer this week that's for us as a church, and I want to kind of prepare us a little bit for that specific word that he gave us. So I'm going to begin this morning by looking at some accounts of the nation of Israel. I mean, no, Israel as a nation has had her ups and her downs, and then her ups and then her downs over the generations. We're going to begin by one of those times where they were unfortunately headed into a down pattern. But how many know that the nation of Israel, since God chose her, is going to end on an up note that's going to last forever? Amen? But unfortunately, we're going to look at a time to begin with when she was headed the wrong direction. Many of you are familiar with the prophet Jeremiah. Jeremiah was known as the weeping prophet. There's a reason that Jeremiah was known that, because God had called him to cry out to the nation of Israel to repent, to turn back to the God of Israel, to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And yet time and time again, they ignored Jeremiah and even persecuted Jeremiah. And so we're going to look at a couple of situations on the attitude of Israel during that season prior to their captivity in the nation of Babylon. Jeremiah 2:3 says, "My people have committed two sins. They have forsaken me, the spring of living water." I mean, no, you don't want to reject that which gives you life. And God calls himself the spring of living water, and Israel had rejected him, that spring. Instead, it says, "And you have dug your own cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold water." I mean, no, Israel thought she had a better idea. So she tried to do things her own way. And so, rather than receive from God the spring of living water, she chose to seek to build idols of her own. And as a result, those idols could not hold living water. They could not hold the Spirit of God within them. And so they were headed towards captivity. And Jeremiah later in chapter 17 says something similar in verses 12 through 14. He's again referring to God. God's throne, a glorious throne, exalted from the beginning, is the place of our sanctuary. So Jeremiah is telling them, God's throne is the place of our sanctuary. "Lord, you are the hope of Israel. All who forsake you will be put to shame. Those who turn away from you will be written in the dust." I mean, no, that's where we began before we were created. We were dust. And so he's saying, those who turn away from you will again be written in the dust. Basically, you're not going to be remembered because you have forsaken the Lord. Here it is again, the spring of living water. But look at what Jeremiah says. He says, "Heal me, Lord, and I will be healed. Save me, and I will be saved. For you are the one I praise." And so what we already get a glimpse of is that God, as the spring of living water, is the one who gives life, who heals, and who saves. It's drinking at his well that gives us true life, that gives us true health. So that's a picture of Israel headed in the wrong direction because they weren't pursuing God, the spring of living water. But then we're going to look at an account in Ezekiel, the prophet, where Ezekiel shows a picture of where Israel is ultimately going to end up. What's going to be the ultimate destiny of Israel? Aren't you glad that even in our dry seasons, God has not forsaken us? That God still has a plan for us. A plan to prosper us and not to harm us. A plan to give us a hope and a future. By the way, that came later in Jeremiah 2 as well, right? Jeremiah 29. See, God desires good for his people. Well, now we're going to see what that's ultimately going to look like, or at least a little glimpse of it. We're going to look in Ezekiel chapter 40 to start with, because this gives a little bit of background. Ezekiel 40, the first four verses. Now, at this point in the book of Ezekiel, Ezekiel is going to be shown a heavenly picture. He's going to be caught up, if you will. The Lord is going to show him something in the spiritual realm. So he's not just looking at something that's natural. So you have to understand this. This is important for you to get a hold of. That what we're going to look at, Ezekiel seeing in the form of a vision. So this has not yet happened, of course. All right? But let's look at this. It says, in the 25th year of our captivity, so now how many know that's after Jeremiah's time? Or it's somewhere in the zone of where Jeremiah was. At the beginning of the year, on the 10th day of the month, in the 14th year after the city was captured, on the very same day, the hand of the Lord was upon me, and he took me there. Now here's the key phrase. In the visions of God, he took me into the land of Israel and set me on a very high mountain. On it toward the south, now listen, was something like the structure of a city. So Ezekiel's, he's now looking at things in a spiritual dimension, not just a natural dimension. And so he sees this structure that looks like a city. He took me there, and behold, there was a man whose appearance was like the appearance of bronze. So more than likely, we're talking about an angelic host here. It doesn't specifically say the angel of the Lord, but we're talking, again, he's seeing things in the spiritual realm. So he's being led around by some kind of an angelic host, okay? Verse 3, he took me there, and behold, oh, I already read that. He had a line of flax and a measuring rod in his hand, and he stood in the gateway. This is interesting. And the man said to me, Son of man, look with your eyes and hear with your ears and fix your mind on everything I show you, for you were brought here so that I might show them to you. And then this is what he instructs Ezekiel. Declare to the house of Israel everything you see. Now from this point on in the book of Ezekiel, for the next 8 chapters, Ezekiel goes through several different events where this man that looks like bronze shows him different things that will be coming on the horizon. And obviously we're not going to spend time to go through 8 chapters, but we're going to peer into one place in the account which is nearing towards the end. It's actually in chapter 47, which is the chapter just before the end of what Ezekiel sees. And let's look at Ezekiel 47 now, verses 1 through 12. This is part of now what Ezekiel has been being shown in this vision. He says, then he brought me back to the door of the temple. Now this is, again, spiritual that he's looking at. And there was water flowing from under the threshold of the temple toward the east, for the front of the temple faced east. The water was flowing from under the right side of the temple, south of the altar. He brought me out by way of the north gate and led me around on the outside to the outer gateway that faces east, and there was water running out on the right side. And when the man went out to the east with the line in his hand, he measured 1,000 cubits, which a cubit's about a foot and a half. So we're talking about 1,500 feet. And he brought me through the waters. The waters came up to my ankles. So these are the waters that are flowing out from the temple. And it's interesting. The further he gets away from the temple, look at what happens. Right now the waters are up to his ankle. Verse 4, again he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters. The water came up to my knees. Isn't that interesting? It starts at the temple, but the further out it goes, the deeper it's getting. All right? Again he measured 1,000 and brought me through. The water came up to my waist. Again he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not cross, for the water was too deep, water in which one must swim, a river that could not be crossed. He said to me, Son of man, have you seen this? So again, he's saying that it's a vision. Have you seen this? Then he brought me and returned me to the bank of the river. Verse 7, when I returned there, along the bank of the river were very many trees on one side and the other. Then he said to me, this water flows toward the eastern region, goes down into the valley, and enters the sea. So it just keeps flowing. When it reaches the sea, and I'm going to tell you this just for background purposes, I put it up in the slide in parentheses, he's talking about the Dead Sea. Okay? The Dead Sea was called that for a reason, because no water flowed into the Dead Sea, has ever flown into the Dead Sea, and it doesn't flow out. It's a stagnant body of water. And it's very salty, and so nothing survives or lives in that environment. It's an environment of death. Okay? Now, what Ezekiel's being shown here is, I believe, something future. That something's going to happen on this planet from the temple of God that's going to flow literally to the Dead Sea. And listen to what it says. Its waters are healed. You think Israel's got a good future? Verse 9, and it shall be that every living thing that moves, wherever the rivers go, will live. So not just the water gets healed, everything else receives life as well from this water that flows from the temple. There will be a very great multitude of fish because these waters go there, for they will be healed. And everything will live wherever the river goes. It shall be that fishermen will stand by it from En-Gedi to En-Eglaim. They will be places for spreading their nets. Their fish will be of the same kinds as the fish of the great sea. Now he's talking the Mediterranean Sea. Exceedingly many. The Mediterranean Sea is a life-giving sea. Okay? But its swamps and marshes will not be healed. They will be given over to salt. So how many know that's going to be, there's still going to be dead places that the water's not going to touch? If you're starting to pick up, there's some types and shadows that are going on here too. Okay, meaning that there's pictures that are being shown here that have spiritual applications. Okay? Verse 12, and along the bank of the river, on this side and that, will grow all kinds of trees used for food. Their leaves will not wither, and their fruit will not fail. That's good stuff. We'll get into it, but that's good stuff. They will bear fruit every month. Now listen to this. I want you to listen. Because their water flows from the sanctuary. Their fruit will be for food, and their leaves, the King James says, for medicine. Most translations use the word healing again. And I really believe healing, personally, I think is a better translation. Medicine is something man's come up with. God just heals. Amen? All right, so this account in Ezekiel is a prophetic passage regarding the nation of Israel. But as many of you know, the nation of Israel's experiences, both literally and physically, also contain, as I've mentioned, a number of types and shadows of what is true about the Church of Jesus Christ spiritually. So what we literally see happening and will happen for the nation of Israel, I want you to understand that there is also things that are types and shadows here that already, whether you know it or not, have been fulfilled in this new covenant that we observe through communion this morning. And we're going to look into that. And so the first type that I want to look at in verse 12 is this. It talks about trees that are growing along the bank of the river. All right? Now, what we're going to see is a lot of these types are connected to the same things that exist with the body of Christ, God's people. And so we see that there are trees that are growing by this river of, if you will, living water. Well, God's people are often in Scripture likened to a tree. And for whatever reason, as I'm praying these days, I can't tell you how many images of different kinds of trees the Lord keeps showing me for some reason. I mean, healthy trees, glowing trees. It's just, as of late, as I'm praying, I'm like going, what is it about all these trees that I keep seeing? And it's not the same one. And the Lord's speaking to me something about this right now. And I'm getting some of it, and I'm still waiting to understand what he's showing me. But how many know trees are intended to represent life? But really, trees often represent people. Let's look at this. Psalm 1, 1 through 3. I'm just going to read through some various accounts. Either or trees or vines or what have you. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. Okay? So this is a person meditating on God's word, right? And we've talked about this last week, that as we meditate on God's word, the Holy Spirit guides us into all truth, correct? And so, as this happens, it says, that person shall be like a tree planted by rivers of water. Does this sound familiar? That brings forth its fruit in season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. So, we're likened to a person that truly meditates on God's word is like a tree that receives life by rivers of water that produces fruit. That's very similar to what we saw Ezekiel describe here, but it's now talking about people, not just an actual tree and an actual river and actual water, correct? Okay, let's go on to John 15, 1 through 17. Jesus said this. He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it so that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean, so he's talking about the people of God, correct? Because the word of God which I have spoken to you, abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up, and they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this. Now, that's a key verse, verse 7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, listen, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. That's being in the vine. Amen? And my Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. Now, my point this morning is not to divide this passage and give you every interpretation, and that's not why I'm reading this morning. I want you to see it in the context of that we are likened to trees and vines and branches, or Jesus is the vine, we're the branches, okay? And this is about bearing fruit. So let's continue on through verse 17. Just as my Father has loved me and also I have loved you, abide in my love. So now this is talking about abiding in Christ, but abiding in his love. Amen? If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. So live for him, correct? Just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be made full. Now, that's a good word. How many know Jesus wants us to have joy? If you come to church and you have your lemon face on all the time, something's wrong. If life is always miserable and heavy and awful, something's wrong. Now, that doesn't mean in this world we don't have trouble. But as you abide in Jesus Christ, even in the midst of the trouble, Jesus says, I have overcome the world. And so because you are overcomers, you have a reason to live in joy. And joy isn't based upon your circumstances. That's happiness, which the world is trying to figure out. But happiness is based on happenings. And how many know the happenings in life aren't always that great? But in Jesus Christ, as overcomers, you and I can live in joy. So he says in verse 12, this is my commandment that you love one another. So now we're not only abiding in his love, but as a result, that love is now manifesting through us, correct? Love one another just as I have loved you. This is the type of love Jesus is talking about, that agape form of love, right? That sacrificial lay down your life kind of love. Greater love has no one than this, that one lays down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. No longer do I call you slaves, for the slave does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you. This is the key, that you would go and bear fruit. And this is the kind of fruit. And that your fruit would remain. That kind of fruit is what we're talking about. I mean, I don't know about you, fruit rots real quick, right? I mean, Dawn buys oranges and apples and strawberries, and if you don't eat them in time, you just ain't going to get to eat them. But Jesus is talking about fruit that remains. How many know we're not talking about natural fruit? We're talking about spiritual fruit, eternal fruit. He says, I have appointed you. How many know you're called? You are appointed to bear fruit that's eternal. He says, so whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. This is my command that you love one another. So that's the motive by which our fruit is going to have eternal significance. It's going to be produced through love. Through loving one another. Through the love that we're abiding in, that love manifests in our heart and it is given out through us and it produces supernatural, spiritual, and eternal fruit that remains. Okay, one more passage where we're likened to a tree. Luke 6:43 through 45. For a good tree does not bear bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. For every tree is known by its own fruit. For men do not gather figs from thorns, nor do they gather grapes from a bramble bush. So what kind of fruit do you produce? What hangs off you? Well, it's not going to be something physical, right? It's going to come out of your spirit. So a good man, verse 45, out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. Now here's a key phrase. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So how do other people taste of your fruit? Your spiritual fruit that's supposed to last. It's what comes out your mouth. The kind of things that you say. Do your words build up or do your words tear down? Remember, good things don't come out of an evil tree. And bad things don't come out of a good tree. Now, he's likening the tree to our heart. Now, how many of you figured out that sometimes there's both good and bad things inside that heart of mine? How many realize that heart of mine needs a little pruning so that what comes out my mouth, out of the abundance of my heart, builds up another person and doesn't tear them down? Right? Isn't that what Ephesians 4 says? Ephesians 4:29. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only that which is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it might benefit those who listen. Right? That's the kind of fruit we're talking about. And then here's something even beyond that. Your fruit not only can affect other people, your fruit, the fruit that you produce, can impact the circumstances of this world. Let's look at, we read this last week, let's look at Mark 11, 22 through 24. So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. How many know that's in your heart? Faith abides in your heart, not your head. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. I want you to get that. What comes out your mouth is what you're going to have. If the abundance of your heart is doubt and fear, and you let fearful statements and doubtful words constantly come out of your mouth, it's the abundance that's coming out of your heart that's coming out your mouth. And guess what? You're going to have what you say. That's why many people can never get in victory in their life, because they keep saying things that are really initiated from their heart, and they don't realize that their heart is a heart of fear, of doubt, of unbelief, versus faith and believing what that word says, because they need to abide in the word, not abide in what the circumstances around them tell them. You got to be like Ezekiel. You've got to see it from the heavenly dimension, not just the natural dimension. You got to start declaring what is already in heaven. Jesus said, pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You got to start declaring what's already in heaven, because that's the only way it's going to get to the earth. But if you keep saying what's already in the earth, you're going to get more of what you already got. You have what you say. Because what you say comes out of the heart, and that's where faith abides. And you can't tap into the supernatural realm without faith. So, fruit. What is the fruit of your life? What do you see happening in the lives of others because of your words? What do you see happening in your circumstances because of your words? What kind of fruit is being born through your life? Because again, spiritual fruit should have a natural manifestation. There's seed in that spiritual fruit, and when you plant that seed, it's going to produce a crop. And I believe it's going to have natural outcomes in the earth, not just in heavenly places. That's how we get what's in heaven from the earth, what comes through our mouth. That's why Jesus said this about the mountain. So he says, therefore, and this is just in agreement with what he already said in this passage in John we read. He said, therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. And then when you believe that you receive them because you ask for them and they're in line with kingdom ideas, then when you declare them, that's when they begin to manifest in the earth. And to the measure of your faith will be the measure of the manifestation. Right? That's a whole nother sermon. So in this passage in Ezekiel, let's back up for just a second. Where did the trees grow? By the river, along the banks, right? And what enabled the trees to bear fruit every month? The water that flowed from the temple, correct? Okay, so they were by the river. The water from the temple made them produce fruit. And where did the water flow? We've already said, from the temple. Now, under the new covenant, here's another type in the shadow. What's the temple? We are. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Look at this. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 through 20. Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You were not your own. You were bought at a price. Boy, does that sound familiar from this morning again? Therefore, honor God with your body. So you are likened to trees that bear fruit, and you're also the temple of the Holy Spirit. Now, as people who are the temple of the Holy Spirit, can you think of any kind of water that exists within that temple? Boy, it's living water. What? So we're trees that bear fruit, and we're also a temple of the Holy Spirit. And as the temple of the Holy Spirit, you mean we've got living water in us too? Israel couldn't even do that. Trees were not the same as the temple. And living water was not the same as the trees. But inside of you, you got it all. You're a tree that's called to bear fruit, and you're the temple that the water flows from, and you got the temple inside of you, or you got the water inside of you, right? Let's look at this. We're going to continue. The word's got to show it, right? John 4, 17 through 15. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to you, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone to town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep." How many think she was having a little hard time figuring out what kind of water he was talking about? "Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, and did as also his sons and his livestock?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." Now the key word is, will be a spring. They will become a spring of water welling up to eternal life. You aren't the living water, but you're the spring that the water wells up within. Okay? The woman said, "Sir, give me this water so I won't get thirsty and keep coming here to draw." She still wasn't quite getting it, was she? Okay? Now, in this passage in Ezekiel we've looked at, what happened to the water that existed within the temple? It flowed out from it, right? But what happened? Deeper. And deeper. And deeper. And then what it start producing? Life. Healing. Fruit. Look at all that. That living water. See, a lot of people think that living water is just for the purpose of our eternal salvation. But look at what it did. It did various things in Ezekiel's picture, right? Let's look at this in John 7:37-39. Listen to what Jesus says will happen to living water that exists within us. "On the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, 'If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink.'" I mean, no, he's the ultimate source, right? "He who believes in me, as the scriptures has said," listen to this. Does it say, it says, listen, this is a key phrase. "Out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified." So the woman at the well, he said, "Come and drink, and it will well up to eternal life." But then Jesus says in this passage, "For those who come to him and drink, this water will flow out of their heart like a river." See, God didn't design you to be a container. He designed you to be a conduit. Because his supply never ends. That picture in Ezekiel, that river, and I believe it could literally be prophetic in the millennial reign period, where Christ establishes his kingdom on the earth and a physical temple is again established. Because it's talking about going to the Dead Sea. That literally could happen. That may very be what that's talking about. But in terms of the types and shadows of the church, being that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit, listen, that picture already exists in you and me. And those rivers of living water of the Holy Spirit are intended to flow out of us. But guess what? They first come into us. Now, can you imagine rivers that flow out of us producing healing and restoration and blessing and fruit, not first producing those things inside of us first? And how many Christians walk around thinking, "Oh, God doesn't want to heal me. It's not God's will to heal me." Did those rivers not touch, did not heal everything that it touched? The only thing it didn't heal was the swamps that it never got to. Right? If you've got it in you, I'm going to tell you, the living water of the Holy Spirit wants you healthy, wants you whole, wants you healed, wants you producing fruit. How well does a vine or a branch produce fruit when it's broken? It doesn't, does it? It doesn't. And then it's cut off and cast out eventually. This is what Ephesians 5:18 through 20 tells us. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to another, one another with psalms, hymns, and songs. Wait a minute. The filling flows out through songs, hymns, and spiritual songs. Isn't that edifying? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another. Notice that's the continuation of being filled. And I believe really that's partly the process of being filled, because as you speak, you're declaring your faith, that which is of heaven manifests inside of you, more water builds, more waters, and as you praise from your heart and your mouth speaks, more water builds, and guess what? It starts flowing out to you, and it starts impacting other people's lives. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so now this brings me to what the Lord spoke to my heart this week. As I was praying this week, I had a couple of pictures come to my mind. The first picture that came to me, I told you the Lord's been giving me trees. Pictures of trees. As I was praying, I saw like a field that was an orchard. And in the field, it was an orchard full of apple trees. But every one of the trees were broken over. They were broke. But what was ironic is they were still in their branches filled with apples and healthy leaves. But they were broken. And then after that, another picture came to my mind, and I literally saw like a pool of water. It wasn't real huge, but it was like a pool of water. And it was probably maybe not quite knee-deep. But as I looked in it, it was clear as glass. And in my spirit, I sensed, you know, it was life-giving, like living water. And as I'm getting this, I'm like going, okay, what's this about? Now, mind you, what I just preached to you, that all came from this. So that came after. You get it first. It came after for me. As I'm seeing this, during the day that day, I felt really, and I don't often feel this, but I felt an impression, the Holy Spirit wanted me to listen to a particular broadcast, a podcast. And so I started listening. It didn't tell me which podcast, just the person to listen to. And as I went through, I started listening to this podcast, and it was a whole podcast on it was more than living water, but it had living water, the healing nature of living water. And I had not heard teaching quite along that line. But after I heard it, it instantly caused me to know what the Spirit of God was speaking to me through those two pictures He gave me. This is what I believe. This maybe a little hard for some of us to hear. I believe that the Lord showed me, and I don't know as it's every person, but those trees that were broken over, I believe the Spirit of God said, that's a picture of your church. You've had people that have been seeking to serve God, and they're still trying to produce fruit. And they're producing some fruit. But yet, literally, the tree was bent over in half. And so it was like it was still attached, but it was like this, and it was clearly severed. And the picture of that brokenness is that your people are trying to serve God and bear fruit, but they're trying to do it in woundedness, in their heartaches, their pains, their sufferings, their sorrows. That's how they're trying to function. And the pool of water was saying, Jesus says, I want them to receive. Do you realize that water that flowed from the temple would not only produce fruit, those trees would be completely brought back up, regrafted together, fully healed, so that they can continue to produce fruit. Because the Lord says if they keep trying to operate that way, there's going to come a point where those apples and those leaves are going to dry up because the river's not able to go through the trunk to supply the branches. Last week, we had a healing service. And I'm just going to tell you, I walked out of this service somewhat heavy of heart. I believe God, I'm going to tell you something, I believe God did something in the heavenlies, if nothing else, in my own heart. But the reason I walked out heavy of heart is because I in my heart believe that there are people that are sitting here this morning and aren't sitting here this morning that were here. And they never came up here for prayer. And they're walking around in brokenness. And they're going to say, I can do it myself. Or who knows why they don't come up for prayer. I've been prayed 100 times and I'm still not healed. Out of the abundance of your heart, you have what you say. God wants to heal this church. And it's not just so you can live a happy life. It's because He's called you to produce fruit that will last. And how are you going to produce fruit and be food to others? How is the fruit of your words and your ministry going to be food to others and healing to others if you can't even receive out of the full of the living waters that exist within you for your own healing? Folks, I didn't just make this up. I believe that's what the Spirit of God showed me this week as I was praying. And it breaks my heart. Because how many of us walk around thinking we just have to live this way? Now, I will tell you this. It may have to start with a trickle from the temple. It might not start as a river. But as you come to Jesus and drink, it'll come. And what starts as a trickle will come up to your knees and then up to your waist. And then it'll become a river. and you as the tree will come back upright, and you will receive healing, and the fruit of your life and the leaves of you as a tree will feed and bring healing to others until they come to the place that they come planted and they become grafted into the vine. That's how it's supposed to work, folks. The ministry that Steve's coming here to share today, that's how it's supposed to work. There's people that are come that need healing. Are you abiding in the vine? Are you coming to Jesus to drink? Are you allowing him to bring healing into your life? Do your words agree with what his word says and not what your body or your circumstances feel? God wants to do more than that. Much more than that. So we're going to give you another opportunity. And we'll get to the meeting. I asked some people to come up again to minister. You're going to get another opportunity. If it comes to you as a trickle today, accept it. And I'm going to instruct those that are praying, as you lay hands on people and pray, I'm going to ask you to pray specifically. One of the things that I want you to pray is pray that God, the living waters of the Holy Spirit come in and wash over them, fill them, flood them. Literally pray specifically for the welling up of God's living waters to come upon them, okay? Because that's what's going to heal. We need to pray that. Living water is an actual substance in the heavenly realm that can come from the temple of God inside of you through the Holy Spirit and literally produce healing. Amen? So you're going to get another opportunity this morning. If you came this morning and you're dealing with something in your life that's broken, it could be your body, it could be your heart, it could be a relationship, it could be your finances, something that's broken that needs healing, let the living water of the Holy Spirit be poured over your life and your situation and heal that thing. Do you believe he wants to do it? His word tells us he does. Amen? So just as you will, come on up here.